We are now recording.
Okay, good. So it said 1 centimeter of snow on Wednesday, and I clicked on it, and it just gave me a long hanging, like, it opened a giant pane on my desktop, window pane, that is, not physical pane.
I'm glad your desktop wasn't in physical pane.
A giant pane on my desktop. But it was a giant pane because it was just not loading and I couldn't click it away. And so I was worried that that was going to cause an issue that would lead to me having to reboot my computer, oh, Griffin. My goodness. And welcome in, folks.
Little peek behind the curtain here for you. Chris, we've been off for a few weeks, not really for any particular reason. That was just the way things worked out.
Yeah, I needed a vacation for my vacation. I had one Super Bowl party with you, and that was enough for me for a while.
Well, it was fantastic. Have both you and Evie. You greatly improved the experience. Mm-hmm. Lovely to see you both.
There were several people who... That squeaky door.
Squeaky door reigns supreme.
There were several people who I either introduced themselves or I was introduced to that professed themselves to be fans of the show. One quite vocal person who professed to not be a big fan of the show but had heard things.
Who was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember their name. They seemed very nice, though. We spoke about Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, that may have been Thomas.
I think probably that's true.
Curly hair?
Wow. Probably.
You were really... I didn't see you drinking at the Super Bowl party.
Oh, now. Let's start the show.
Let's do it. And we're back. Welcome in. We're back from the theme song.
Yeah, you're a crazy guy.
How are you feeling about the theme song, Chris? As we're here in year three of the podcast, you still liking it?
I hear it all the time.
Yep.
And I like it personally. Bing, 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 bing. That's my cover.
Yes, that's good. Tell me if I got it in the
right key. The listeners,
I think so. Yeah. I mean,
what's your pitch like?
Perfect pitch, as anyone could tell.
That's not true, I don't think.
I can only assume I have perfect pitch.
We should give you a music test sometime.
That would be fun. That would be a fun seg. Chris, we both saw Madame Web.
Yeah, what did you think of Madame Web?
Listen, there were some things where I was turning to my friends in the theater, and I literally, to Sarah, said the words, "This is a major motion picture. Like, this came... from a studio that is paid to make films." That was one of the times when the villain's mouth did not move as he read his lines.
Griffin.
On screen. It's one thing to show the back of his head for half of his lines. But to have his mouth in frame not moving while he speaks is crazy.
Sure? Griffin, was it their confrontation in the diner, which, as we know, happened in the nebulous dream world that Cassandra Webb inhabits due to her connection to the web of life after receiving the bite of the spider people in the forests of the Amazon?
It was also... I think it could have been cool if there had actually been a fight scene. Was there a fight scene in the entire movie?
Of course there of course, famously...
Or was there running away scenes?
Of course, famously, they are depicted in costume only in flash forwards.
Why didn't they just have a movie about three spider women and Madame Web trying to fight this guy? That would have been great.
It would have been great, and I can't wait to see it in Madame Web 2.
Yeah, you think that? How do you think that's looking right now?
I'm hopeful.
But it's one of a kind. Go see it.
It is one of a kind. I like it.
I did like it.
Griffin, I did like it.
I thought your Letterboxd review was very poignant.
Yes, this is what I was going to bring up, because I did mention this in my Letterboxd review, is that I think that what's fascinating about the movie, or what's unique about the movie, is that it is not an action movie in so many words. Certainly, I think it's ultimately
that's true.
I think it's a little unsatisfying to not get to see the characters be superheroes.
I'd say that's also true.
for the complete runtime of the movie. But I think that I actually found the final set piece to be quite emotional, because it's not predicated on an act of violence, Griffin. It's predicated on an act of protection, and that is, you know, isn't that why we why our superhero pals lace up their suits to begin with?
That is nice. I also liked the final set piece, but just because I thought the idea of setting it in an exploding fireworks factory was cool. I thought that that was a cool idea. So we came at the movie from different points of view, I see.
But, perhaps.
How'd she get paralyzed? Spoilers for Madame Web. Why is she in the wheelchair in the end? She gets hit in the eyes with a firework, which is why she goes blind. But
she falls into the water.
Yeah, but she break her spine. There's not really a moment. Yeah. Also, that's not how CPR works. I feel the need to say that. It is incredibly rare to restart someone's heart with CPR. CPR is to buy time until a defibrillator can arrive on the scene.
Well, it happened to Cassie Webb twice, Griffin.
She is literally brought back to life by CPR twice, which is just not... That's not what CPR is.
I think she's preternaturally disposed to...
She has an easily restartable heart.
Yeah. And of course, that's a great scene. We love that moment. When they do CPR.
Sure.
Okay, you're not interested. That's fine.
Listen, I'm glad I saw it. I don't think it's the worst movie ever made or anything like that. I think there are a lot of very strange choices that went into the making of
that movie. It's a stirring case for polyamory, Griffin.
What?
What?
When does it make a stirring case for polyamory?
You have to read the subtext, my friend. You'll understand one day.
I guess I'm racking the movie, racking my brain. She has these three people who she's attached to.
I will also say, you didn't like my review, considering how poignant you found it.
I hadn't seen the movie yet. I didn't know if it rang true, and I haven't gone back since.
All right, I'll take your word for it.
You didn't like my review.
I didn't see your review.
It's a good one. No likes so far, but...
Did you, Griffin, by any chance, did you see Poor Things?
I have seen Poor Things. I've seen Poor Things twice, as a matter of fact.
And you loved it. I remember I saw your review. What's your letterbox name? Is that Griffin Porter 97?
That's a messed up thing to say to me.
What?
Do you follow me on Letterboxd?
Yes, and when you click on Letterboxd, when you see someone's name, I just see Griffin Porter.
It's Griffin P 97.
Okay.
I know yours.
Okay, that's the same as everything. I thought I guessed that it would be the same as your other things.
I typed in Chow and then accidentally hit Z instead of S. Have you ever considered going by Chows on the internet? Because I think that would be good for you.
Captain Chaz Bentwood.
You did not like Poor Things, I'm seeing.
No, I did not. Despite labeling yourself as a generous reviewer, 2 stars for Madam Web.
I thought that was kind of generous. I think that's above the average. It is above the average.
Yeah, but I would have thought you better than the average.
I'm above the average. It says it right
Barely.
There. Wow, you and Colin are racking up the quick likes. Oh, it's from all your little friends. We have to get off this topic. We're a sports podcast.
Yeah, you're getting upset at all my likes.
Yeah, it's driving me to the brink of madness with rage. 116 followers.
Sorry.
Ahem. I thought I had to cough. I didn't really,
keep
but I thought I would still land the plane.
In.
All right.
Even you had some intangibles.
I did. My first one is Super Bowl related. It's labeled in the doc as a Travis Kelce take. That's my mistake. It's actually a Jason Kelce take. We're hitting this hot on hot on the
perfect
heels.
Timing.
This will be great for social media. Hit it while it's trending. I want you to tell me if I am being unreasonable or not, because I can see both sides
of
this.
I'd love to do that.
I think that if I was a Philadelphia Eagles fan, it would really bug me to see Jason Kelce all out in all the Chiefs gear. Especially considering they just beat you in the Super Bowl last year. Going there supporting his brother is fine. That's one thing. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But, like, wearing the big Kansas City pendant and going out in, like, the red and yellow colors and all that and just, like, fully decked out like a Chiefs fan, I think that would be a step too far for me. And as much as everyone loves Jason Kelce, I think that would leave a bad taste in my mouth. And it kind of does, even not as a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Do you think I'm being unreasonable?
I don't think you're being unreasonable. Would you feel the same way if he had retired, had already retired? Because it seems like he might still.
I think so.
That you'd feel the same way?
I do think it would, maybe not quite as much, but I do think that would still irk me.
I think that's a little less reasonable.
Yeah.
But I think I agree with you. I see your point. I mean, certainly he...
The fact that he hasn't retired yet does make it worse, for sure.
He shares his brother's love for public performance. Let me say that, Griffin.
Interesting.
He was taking his shirt off. He was wearing an apron, I believe.
I think it was overalls.
Okay, overalls.
A luchador mask.
Yeah, he... Why do you wear those things, you know? Why do you stick yourself so close to Taylor Swift? I mean, I know why, but...
I mean...
You know?
Yes, I do think that this does sort of come naturally to these guys. I don't think it's a deliberate manipulative effort. Like, if you read stories about them back in college, they are very party-hardy boys. They're about as on the stereotype of Midwestern college football players as you can get. So, I don't know if you're claiming audience manipulation from Jason Kelce.
That's interesting. Is it manipulation if you are just, like, you know? I mean, like, I certainly don't think that that's solely for his own benefit. I think he knows that he's going to be seen. I don't know if that counts as manipulation. Like, everyone, every public figure who wears things is doing it with the understanding that they're going to be seen wearing them and photographed wearing them. Is it the lack of swag, frankly, that is bothering me? Maybe so.
What do you think Jason Kelce is like when he gets home and he's alone and he takes off the mask, the public Jason Kelce persona? Do you think he's cold and calculating?
No, I think he's probably about the same. I think Travis Kelce is.
You think Travis Kelce is wearing the public mask?
I think he might be a little cold and calculating when he gets home by himself.
Wow. Chris, there's only one thing I have to say to that. And what's that up? Is, Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I was glad you went home from the Super Bowl before that happened, because I didn't think you'd be able to handle that in a public setting.
And lest we forget, that was messed up what Travis Kelce did to Andy Reid.
Oh, also true. I was glad you were there for that part.
I was shocked by that.
That was not very publicly conscious of him, which makes you just know that everything he does is real and authentic.
Sure. I mean, I think the mask came down for a moment, yeah. Maybe. I think we saw the real Travis there for a second. Griffin, you've got some more takes for us.
I do. This one's a question. So Austin Matthews right now is on a crazy goal-scoring binge. The guy's addicted to it. It's time for an intervention, if you ask me. He's on pace for more than 70 goals, which has sparked a lot of discourse. And you know we love to weigh in on discourse. So, the MVP trophy. Some are claiming Austin Matthews does not have enough assists. Yes, that is the Hart trophy to win the MVP. Some are claiming that the Rocket Richard trophy is there to reward the leading goal scorer, so he should not win MVP. And there are other players with great cases, Nathan MacKinnon and Nikita Kucherov, chief among them. So, Chris, I want to know from you, what number of goals do you think Austin Matthews has to hit before everyone goes, okay, he's clearly the MVP, there's not even really a discussion. 70 apparently is not the number. One would think that considering he won the MVP for scoring 60, that 70 may be the number, but it appears not to be. And also, the Leafs are bad. And Austin Matthews is keeping them relevant.
Okay.
So that's also something to factor in. But that's not what we're talking about right now. Austin Matthews, what's the number?
So the thing about this griffin is that it doesn't exist in a vacuum, is the main thing, I think. I think the real thing, I mean, frankly, I think the thing that bolstered him, I mean, he probably should have won 2 years ago, if we're being honest, but I think the main thing bolstering him is the lack of a clear, powerful narrative for someone else. Like, Nathan MacKinnon, that's, you know, that's a good story. the Avs are, you know, the Avs are not having their best year. He's never won it before. I guess that's, like, counts as a narrative. But, like, is that really the strongest thing we've ever seen? Nikita Kucherov, it's like, sure. The Lightning aren't that great. He's having a great season. But if, you know, because obviously, no matter how many goals he scored, unless it was, like, the all-time record,
right,
he would not have beaten Connor McDavid last year. Right? That's fair to say.
Well, Connor McDavid, I don't think... Oh, for the Hart Trophy, yes. No, correct.
Yeah, exactly. But there is no, you know, there is no guy scoring 150 points this year.
No.
And so I think that... I do think that if he got to 70, he would win it. Does that make it indisputable? No. So I guess... my answer is, like, A, it's contextually dependent, but also B, for indisputable, for people not to say, like, you know, if he finishes with, like, 30 assists or whatever, I feel like it's, like, 80.
Okay, there we go. Consider the discourse contributed to.
Consider the following, as Bill Nye once said.
Yes, he did win the MVP 2 years ago, Chris. You just said he deserved to, so I just want to clear your conscience on that. Austin Matthews did win the MVP.
No, I meant Connor McDavid.
Oh. Well, Austin Matthews won it, so.
Yeah.
Sorry, Toronto, the center of the universe, strikes again. Leafs bias.
That's like, I think, probably a more potent version of what we're seeing now, where it's like, well, he has more goals, and he also hadn't won it before, which I think is always a helpful boost to your narrative, but, you know.
Yeah, Nathan MacKinnon trying to cash in on that this year.
Yeah. He had 106 points that year. Connor McDavid had, what, like 125? Something in that area.
That's negligible. All right, Chris, and just before we get into our first segment here, NBA All-Star Weekend, the game itself, disaster. Most of the contests, mm-hmm. disaster. Your take, mm-hmm. does it need to be fixed? Can it be fixed? How do you fix? USA versus the world? $1 million per player? What are we doing here?
Griffin, I have an amazing idea.
Oh, boy.
For how to make the All-Star Game more exciting. Of course, as we know, the All-Star Game famously has the classic East versus West conference system. And what I'm proposing is, what if there was a system by which players were drafted
by
the leading vote getters in each conference? Wouldn't that be an exciting event, Griffin? Wouldn't that bring some fun to the All-Star proceedings?
Do you think that ever impacted the game itself while you were watching it, or was that just a fun event to also watch?
I think it's a fun event to also watch.
Okay.
But maybe, Griffin, instead of, you know, just having a running score total at the end of the game, there could be some kind of target score. What I'm saying, Griffin, is the NBA made some great additions to the game, and then they walked them back for no reason, and then the game sucked. And people were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened.
It is crazy to me.
That's what it is. That's what the game is. Yeah. That's why they had to change it.
It is wild to me that they got rid of the Elam ending. That seemed like a perfect... I don't ever recall seeing anyone complaining about that. That was wild to get rid of. But, okay, there we go. So the answer is that the All-Star Game was perfect and can be again.
Certainly, it was a better format. I think that, quote-unquote, fixing it, I don't think you're ever going to get there. I don't think that there's ever going to be an incentive that's strong enough to, like, force players to try. I think that they choose to try based on the situation and the given year.
Right.
So, I don't think that, but I don't think, how do you fix that? Like, how do you perpetuate that. I don't think you can create something, whether it's money or charity or whatever. I don't think that there's something that can force them to do that, or that would create an incentive so powerful that they feel obligated to do that.
Okay, there we go.
Because, much, you know, think about the league itself, Griffin. There's no monetary incentive you can create that's strong enough for someone to try their very hardest. Even if they're getting paid a certain amount, it doesn't make a player try harder, you know?
So are you saying that money does not make the world go round?
That's interesting. I think a basketball is round. How about that?
Whoa. Did you see that new Spalding airless basketball? Or not, like, hollow basketball? Those are both things that a basketball already is or isn't. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
The like, it's like an empty basketball. This, I'm not doing a good job of describing it. Basically, if you picture a basketball, it's like made of plastic and it's like holes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the frame of a basketball without a solid leather covering.
And it does not need to be filled with air.
Correct. It just bounces on its own, and it costs like $2,200 or something insane.
That's cool.
And it is also round, just like you said. All right. Game time. Enough of these intangibles, this weak nonsense. Let's get into a game.
Nonsense. Okay. Are you checking your texts right now?
I am. I'm checking my work email, actually. And it's not important.
Okay. Let me check mine quickly as well.
It's not going to be anything important for you.
Looks like I have... That's so rude. What if I had gotten a comment on my fanfiction?
That's your work email?
No, I don't get my work email to my phone. I'm not a lunatic.
I guess that's why one of us is rising through this company, and why one of us is...
And one of us has a fanfiction that's closing in on 10,000 hits, Griffin.
I gotta find this. At least give me the cinematic universe that it's in.
I will do no such thing. Griffin.
Is it anime?
Yes.
Wait, no, Griffin, you're not. I don't know whether or not you're telling me the truth.
In this world, there are people who tell the truth, and there are people who lie.
I thought you were telling me about the world of your fanfiction for a second.
Well, that's true of any world. Well, I guess
not the world in The Invention of Lying.
Not the world in The Invention of Lying.
I know where
that's exactly stupid brain right, is going. There, in that world, there are people who tell the truth and person who lies.
Continue with your spiel.
I'm so tickled that you got that. That was very cool. There are people who tell the truth and people who lie. And Griffin.
Yes.
Our job as people with adequate media literacy skills.
Podcast microphones.
And access to both basketball and hockeyreference.com. Our job is to sort the real from the fake.
It's a demonstration of my perfect pitch that we were talking about earlier.
Just clip that quickly and make a little drop out of it, and we can play that before all our real or fakes.
I would like that.
With playoff time, frankly, fast approaching, Griffin, we've got some NHL and NBA real or fakes that we're going to talk about. And was this intro long enough, do you think?
If anything, I would say it was too long. So I don't think you have to worry about it being long enough.
Okay, well, I'll take that note and think about it for a while. And why don't you think about this, Griffin, real or fake? In this league we call the NBA, there's only one contender in the Eastern Conference. And I don't think I even have to tell you who it is.
You do not? Know what, Chris, with Joel Embiid's health a question mark as we move forward in the NBA season, with Julius Randle and OG Anunoby's health a question mark, with the Cleveland Cavaliers' ability to play under the brightest lights a question mark, I am going to have to say real. I think that the Boston Celtics are the only true championship contender in the East.
I didn't even mention the Bucks.
3-7 under Doc Rivers. I did forget about the Milwaukee Bucks. Sorry. I don't get that
Sorry
one.
To jump in. I just wanted to.
Yes, do they have mention a song about 3 and 7 or Doc
Threes
Rivers?
And sevens.
Okay.
Great song. It would be cool if they had a song called Doc Rivers, though.
So. Yeah, I do think that the I don't think it's a guarantee that the Celtics make the NBA Finals, obviously. I think that the Sixers, the Knicks, the Bucks could all knock them off, but I think they are heavy favorites in each and every one of those series. So by that merit, I am going to say this is real, that the NBA Eastern Conference only has one true championship contender.
I think you're right about that. I mean, you never know. Helpful statement, but I think you're right. It is kind of sad that, because I feel like they're used. Do I have my nostalgia goggles on, Griffin? When I say that there used to be, well, I mean there were a few years where there was literally two teams that we knew would meet in the finals every year for 5 consecutive years, and
yeah,
that was great.
That was an era.
Yeah, but it feels like there used to be more like bulletproof kind of teams, like at least two in a conference. I guess the Raptors were getting like second seeds.
So are you saying there's too much parity right now or not enough parity?
I guess too much, because it doesn't feel like the Celtics are better than, like, obviously not better than the Warriors of that period, but even, you know, maybe I think I am, you know, viewing things with rose-colored glasses, but you look at like the Durant Westbrook Thunder.
Yes. I'm looking at them like, right, you know, now.
Those were some terrific teams. And I think they would, frankly, trounce basically any other team in the Western Conference right now. Maybe that's an exaggeration.
Interesting. I think that the Nuggets could probably handle that team.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Nuggets are, I almost said, are there only two championship contenders total? The Celtics and the Nuggets. But I think that the Clippers...
Yeah, the Clippers are, maybe, some could say, that the...
Which is a crazy thing to say when that's the 3 and 4 seed in the conference, but...
Yeah. Could you say that the Timberwolves are a true championship contender? You wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Could you say that the Oklahoma City Thunder are a true championship contender? They're playing like one.
I'd consider it.
Would you consider that more than the Timberwolves?
Yes, I think so. Maybe that's a little sacrilegious to say, but I think that they are better constructed as a roster.
The Thunder, when you look at all the supporting stats, like they're not fluking out these wins. Like they are legitimately one of the best teams in the NBA.
Yeah. The only thing is lack of experience, and you know, like what I always point to, and they don't. So what they don't have, Griffin, is a Chris Paul. Because that's really because my thing was always like, oh, that team never wins in the playoffs.
The young upstart team that
the young upstart team never just immediately shoots to that level.
Right.
But the Suns did do that. And I sort of had to reevaluate my level of thinking there. They did have a Chris Paul, though, who was probably their best player in that playoffs. So I think that, and again, Chris Paul was not a championship, you know, person with championship experience, but certainly had a large amount of playoff experience. And so I do think that experience does mean something in the long run.
Okay, they did pick up Bismack Biyombo, who famously made a run to the Eastern Conference Finals with the Toronto Raptors in 2016.
Kendrick Lamar released a song about him.
Do you think that can fulfill that void?
Yes.
All right, there you have it.
Did you know that Derrick Rose is on the Grizzlies?
Maybe.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
If I did, I didn't commit a lot of energy or brain power to it.
And doesn't that seem like a guy where you would just hear that he was going to get bought out?
Yeah. Yeah. Get Derrick Rose. Strange. He's just chilling, scoring 8 points a game off the bench for the Timberwolves down the stretch. Has he played for the Timberwolves? I feel like Derrick Rose has played for 29 of the 30 teams in the NBA at this point.
He did play for the Timberwolves.
Played
another
for the
one
Knicks.
He played for the Knicks for several years. Another one that we often forget, Griffin, Derrick Rose played for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Was that with LeBron?
That was with LeBron. That's so like That's the 2017-18 team.
Oh, and they had, like, Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose.
Where they had, like, Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose, and then they were like, oh, no.
this was a terrible idea.
This team is so bad that we need to trade for Rodney Hood to fix it.
Hey.
But, yeah.
Respect to Rodney Hood. I couldn't think of a funny thing to say. Next take, Chris, on NHLBAROF. The fans can figure out what that one stands for. The Edmonton Oilers should not be cup favorites. Real or fake? Are you saying... What was that?
Nilberoff.
Are you saying that right now the Edmonton Oilers are the number one team to win the Stanley Cup?
I think by betting odds, they are. Maybe I don't think I fact-checked that information.
I will fact-check while you pontificate.
All right, perfect. But yes, I would say that right now they are considered to be the strongest. I think it's a similar scenario to what we're seeing in the NBA, where there hasn't been a team that's distinguished themselves enough to sort of earn the right to like lock down that first spot. And obviously, you know, certainly for an extended period, we saw the Edmonton Oilers play like they were the best team in the NHL.
Yes. Interject, Chris, you are correct. They are currently the Vegas favorites to win the Stanley Cup. And it is not a encouraging group. It's Oilers, then Canucks, then Avalanche, then Panthers, then Rangers, then Bruins, then Stars, then Leafs. And then everything after that is above 11-1. None of those teams I would really circle as true blue favorites, so we might be onto something here.
Yeah, and you know, so that's the thing, is that's what you sort of end up with, is like, I think that they have sort of ended up there by virtue of there not being another team that's strong enough to hold on to it with an iron fist in the way that Boston sort of did last year, like clearly being the best team in the league. I think, you know, that's kind of shocking that Boston's that low. Where are the Rangers at?
The Rangers were in that list I mentioned there, like 10-1.
Okay. But yeah, it's strange that the team that's tied with Vancouver for the most points in the league is that low.
Yeah. I like the Rangers a lot. The goaltending, obviously, Shesterkin's been iffy this year, so... If he can keep that together, I think that they're a very strong contender. But I am going to say fake on the Oilers, but I'm not going to offer up a replacement favorite. I think there is no clear favorite right now. Maybe the Colorado Avalanche, if you want to just bank on pure talent.
Yeah, but even they've been disappointing. I feel like everyone, like all the great teams have been in a slide lately. Like, the Avalanche have 3 wins since the All-Star break. The Jets are doing well. But it's like Vancouver's been sliding. Edmonton's been sliding. Boston's been sliding. So maybe it's the Panthers. I keep hearing the Panthers' names come up.
I don't believe in the Florida Panthers. Even as they were in the Stanley Cup Final last year, I did not believe that they were Stanley Cup Final contenders.
But the case would be that they are a better team than they were during that cup run. Yeah. So that they do not need the goaltending to be as good for them to be in the same place this year.
That's true. I'm not sure if you're picking up the background noise in my apartment, but the weather is starting to whip around here.
Windy?
Windy? Maybe even a little rainy. Who's to say? Next team, Chris. A team currently in the lower half of the bracket in the NBA will be in the conference finals. So as a refresher, that is the Philadelphia 76ers, the Miami Heat, the Indiana Pacers, the Orlando Magic, or the New Orleans Pelicans, Phoenix Suns, Sacramento Kings, or Dallas Mavericks. I am going to say that these are real.
It's an interesting group of teams, isn't it?
It really is. The Sixers, if they get Joel Embiid back with a couple games of ramp-up before the playoffs, are certainly contenders to be in the conference finals. The Indiana Pacers, we know, have a lot of talent. You could see them getting hot and going on a run.
Skipped right over the Heat.
Yeah, I don't believe in the Heat. I'm going to skip right over the Magic as well. The New Orleans Pelicans are a very good basketball team.
Wow.
Which is very intriguing to me. I could see them going on. I don't know about conference finals, but I could certainly see them going through the second round. The Phoenix Suns, I think, of course, everyone knows the vision there. And
they are currently matched up with the Nuggets as it stands now, though.
Yeah, that would be tough. And then the Kings and Mavericks are also good basketball teams with a history of success. The Mavericks have one of the three best players in the world. The Kings certainly made some noise last year before losing to the Warriors. So I could see any of those four Western Conference teams making the conference finals, pulling off an upset, like we said, over the upstart Timberwolves or what are they called? Thunder. So give me that one. I'm claiming it real once again.
Okay. When you look at the list, Griffin, because in my head says fake, but my heart, when you look at that list of teams, but I feel like aren't those always the teams that never end up being as good as what we hope them to be? I guess the Miami Heat the last couple of years have sort of been that team every time or often.
Yeah, they have been making those lower bracket runs.
But I feel like a lot of times when you look at a team, you know, I mean, if you take like last year's Clippers as an example, maybe, where it's like they were the fifth seed, but people were sort of like, watch out because, you know, they could put something together.
Right.
Obviously, you know, health was a big issue for them, but those kinds of teams, I feel like so rarely turn into, this is one of my sort of pet theories, is that the team that doesn't care about the regular season basically never ends up being the team that's good in the playoffs.
Yeah. Do you think that that's just sort of a coincidence because it's hard to make the finals, or do you think that it's because they coast?
I think it's partly because they coast and partly because it all comes out in the wash. Like, I think it probably is a sign that maybe there is no such thing as a coasting team, and that if a team shows you how good they are, believe them, kind of, is how I feel.
Wow. That's deep. Like, I'm going to be taking that, yeah, as a life lesson moving forward.
But that being said, the Western Conference is very packed. Like, the 8th seed, Dallas, is 33-24. Well, the first seed is 40-17.
Yeah, no,
the second seed is also 40-17.
We're really back to that golden age of NBA basketball. It feels like the West is always better than the East. I don't know how. There were like a couple years in there where people are like, is the East actually better than the West these days? But now it is definitely not.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, whoa.
That is thunder and lightning.
I hope our power doesn't go out. I would hate to lose this great record. Griffin, a couple of speed ones here. The stuff up the top was good. Griffin, another NBA question for you. The Washington Wizards are worse than the Detroit Pistons, the fabled Detroit Pistons, real or fake?
I'm going to say fake. Listen, the Wizards are bad. The Wizards are really, really bad. Jordan Poole, it's really, really bad. Kyle Kuzma trying to get out of Washington. They won't let him get out. But the Detroit...
That's true.
Don't you think you got to... If you were a person who was not only on the Washington Wizards, but also living in Washington, D.C.?
I saw an article, Griffin, that was all about how the Wizards were involving Kyle Kuzma in potential trade talks and sort of brought it to him... and that he said he didn't want to be traded.
Okay, there you go. Kyle Kuzma, no desire to win, no desire to improve his life. He's happy to just be there with Jordan Poole, chucking up shots. But despite all that, the Detroit Pistons are truly terrible. I'm starting to feel a little better that the Raptors did not get Monty Williams as I wanted them to so badly.
How are you feeling about Adrian Griffin?
That one also, apparently. I was like happy for him to go to a contender. Doc Rivers, 3-7. Maybe the problems were a little deeper than Adrian Griffin.
Hey, Queens of the Stone Age.
Shout out. We love Queens of the Stone Age. Chris, do you want to do... So I'm saying fake. to that one.
I think it's real. I think that the Pistons have a lot of talent. I think they're better than what their record has suggested. Obviously, you know, a problematic roster, to be sure. But if you just look at their roster from top to bottom, I think that the Wizards have more, like, glue guys, for lack of a better term. Like, Bilal Coulibaly, I think, is, like, the classic kind of guy where it's like, he's probably never going to be the best player on a good team, but he helps you win games. Whereas the Pistons have a lot of players that could be a good player on a good team, but aren't that player yet.
Right.
And so I think from a talent perspective, they are a better team. And I think if you match them up over 7 games, it'd be interesting. I'd like to see that coach off between
Wes Unseld. And,
no, he got fired.
Oh, did he? Damn.
Or they mutually agreed for Wes Unseld to
get fired,
transition into a new role within the Wizards organization. I do just quickly want to read this to you, Griffin, because I found it very interesting. This is from The Athletic. There was a point in time, Dallas, they definitely did want me, Kuzma told The Athletic on Monday.
Winger he's so forthcoming
with what the trade was, and obviously didn't want to trade me, and kind of left the decision up to me a little bit and asked me what I wanted to do. I told him I wanted to stay and continue to build something, and that was the end of it.
And how do you think the building process is going? How's the foundation looking right now?
Griffin, they have one more win than the Pistons.
They do. All right, we are going to take
and
a break.
A lot of number one picks on that team, I'll also say. Sorry, what were you saying?
I was going to say we're going to take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, that's we're going to draft. That'll be a lot of fun. It's a rainy Tuesday afternoon. It's a cozy, low energy, high floor, low ceiling here today. And
I'm bringing it.
Yeah. Of course you are, as always. We'll be back in just a minute. Daisy Brown. Has got it going on. Welcome back from the break, everyone.
I'm glad to have my harmony on last.
Yeah. And once again, my perfect plitch.
Plitch. Not plitch. An eventful, Griffin, an eventful off-season between segments for us. I made a startling prediction.
Yeah, you...
That my power would go out, and it did indeed. It did the classic flicker. It didn't go out,
but any, just enough to reboot every device in your house and make sure exactly. You have to reset all your clocks and all that.
That's exactly right, Griffin. It we was love the it. Exact amount of time. And you, Griffin, do you want to share what happened to you?
I just now? Accidentally breathed in a piece of lint that went straight to the back of the old esophagus. My life did flash before my eyes, which are now tearing up. But I was able to hawk it back up, and my airway was never seriously obstructed. Parents.
A great sound you made.
I believed it was a fly for several moments.
Yes, that was really what horrified me.
you did look horrified.
You did that crazy cough, and then like in your brief moment before you started coughing again, said, "I think I literally just swallowed a fly." Or breathed in a fly, which is somehow worse.
Definitely worse to imagine it buzzing around inside your lungs.
Yeah. So that was a tough thing to deal with, but we're okay now.
We've recovered just in time to draft some Major League Baseball championship contenders, Chris. Mm-hmm. Spring training has struck Florida and Arizona. Just today, at the start of the... Blue Jays game against the Tigers, and this is according to our good friend of the show, Mitch Bannon, High Floor, Low Ceiling Hall of Famer. Alec Manoa's first spring start begins with allowing a single to Riley Green before hitting Spencer Torkelson with a pitch, before hitting Mark Canha with a pitch. Those are the first three plate appearances of Alec Manoa's spring. Blue Jays are, of course, hoping that he will be their number 5 starter this year, so listen... Spring doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
However, I would rather he had struck one of those guys out.
For sure, as opposed to striking them.
Yeah, that's good.
That's difficult to hear, I will say.
Yeah, we'll have to come back to this in July. However, Blue Jays number two prospector Elvis Martinez just ripped a bases-loaded double into the left field corner to score two. Exit velo 111.2 miles per hour. That is from not friend of the show, Keegan Matheson.
Mm.
Although I have emailed with him once or twice.
Yeah, he's not an enemy of the show.
No, certainly not. Seems like one of the best around. Crispin. Oh.
Wow.
That's a high floor, low ceiling moment for you.
Put that on the bingo card.
The demo reel when we sell this to networks.
To Netflix.
We could be Netflix's first live sports commentary show.
Griffin, I think that there is a serious question here, because I think this year there is one team that comes to mind when you think about MLB contenders.
Yes, there is.
So I think that the first pick will be an important one.
We usually,
how do you want to decide?
Approach this with a coin flip. Is that the way you would like to do it?
We can flip a coin for sure.
All right.
Would you like to flip? Do you have a coin to flip, or should I type flip coin into Google?
Yeah, I think flip coin into Google is our usual method of madness.
Okay, I'm pressing enter. Oh, sorry. Would you like to call it first?
Yes, I will call heads.
Okay, and I'll send you a really fast screenshot so you'll know it's real.
Okay.
Flip coin. It is heads.
There we go. Now I believe you. You don't even need to send the screenshot.
I'll send it just in case. You can see
there
that
it is.
The text
the head.
That says heads is still just fading in. That's how quickly I took the screenshot.
You are the... famously, when we used to be bored during Zoom classes, you would send our little group chat typing tests just so that you could show us all how fast you were at typing. You'd be like, hey, let's all do this fun typing competition.
Well, mine would never sound like that, because that's clearly a non-mechanical
keyboard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine would sound like this. And this will probably come up on the microphone.
What'd you just type out there?
I can send it to you right now.
I will also send you what I typed.
I typed for the listener. Jikumfuv Kidkle Pass semicolon.
Then you hit the caps lock, apparently.
Sidfup. Oyas boy, Ajisifi.
Meanwhile, I was really living on home row. I have a lot of A, JKL, DFs in there, a lot of S's as well. So I was really just hammering ASDF. Home row over and over.
No home row. Griffin,
I'll take things that typing teachers do not say for 200.
I hope so.
Well, Chris, this is the thing. Every year, for many, many years, this team has been the number one pick to win the World Series. And usually they do not, because picking the World Series winner is very, very hard. And
that's
they are usually the best team in the regular season, but the Major League Baseball playoffs are not really an indicator of the best baseball team.
We are setting ourselves up to look disastrously wrong.
With that being said... I'm really setting myself to look disastrously wrong here. I'm going to take the Atlanta Braves first overall. Something always goes wrong. I'm a big believer in process over results. If you are the best team in the league over and over again, you will eventually win the World Series. That only makes sense, and I like to believe in a world where rules and logic apply. But listen, if they never win, I'm going to pick... It's like picking a 2 seed to win in your March Madness bracket, because the 1 seeds don't ever win, because they're the 1 seeds. There's no actual logic to it, but it's just a vibes pick. So I'm taking what many, I think, would probably consider the 2 seed, the Atlanta Braves, to win the World Series.
And I will say, I'm looking at the...
How many are we picking, just by the way? Because there aren't that many, like, championship contenders you want to do.
I think we can pick...
Four? Three?
Four each,
okay.
That'll bring us to the Blue Jays, probably. Yeah. excuse me, I'm getting emotional. I will say, I'm looking at the odds here, and the Braves are not significantly behind what I feel obligated to take as my first pick. Just because
big mistake, you're throwing it away.
If you got both of them, that would be an embarrassing situation for me. And I am getting emotional again. One second here while I cough. But Griffin, why don't you announce my pick for me?
Chris, you are, of course, taking the Detroit Tigers with your second overall pick. You didn't want me to have both the Atlanta Braves and the Detroit Tigers. You feel that the AL Central is weak, it's open for the taking, and that's a guaranteed path to at least the wild card round. So if they can overcome the Twins, you're sitting pretty, pretty there. So, I mean, it's a bold pick. I think they probably would have gone later in the draft, but they are bringing it to Alek Manoah right now, two hit-by-pitches in the first inning. So you have taken that and extrapolated it to a 1,000 OBP, which will make them very hard to beat.
Absolutely. Of course, you know, famously, one of the big stories of last year, 83 wins. The Baltimore Orioles rocketed to 101 wins.
Yes, they did.
So by the same logic, the Detroit Tigers should be good. They were 78 wins last year. They could easily get to 96. And that's enough, you know.
There you go.
If the Blue Jays won 96 games, people would be ecstatic. So why not the Tigers, I say?
That's true.
So with my number one overall pick, I'll be taking the Detroit Tigers.
Okay, with my number two pick, I'm going to take the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm a little surprised that they fell to me here at two. But I'll be happy to take them. They got that big three, of course, and Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman, and Mookie Betts. It'll be a lot of fun to see those guys pitch. A little concerned about the rotation, but with Yoshinobu, Yamamoto, and who else did they get? Did they get Tyler Glasnow? I think they did. So some question marks there, but Yamamoto seems like the real deal. It's another big lightning flash outside my window. Hopefully we don't lose you here. So I'm taking Los Angeles Dodgers.
This is going to be a difficult... huge
thunder.
This is gearing up for a big storm. I love the pick, Griffin. I think that I maybe should have actually picked them with my number one pick. I, of course, picked the Tigers based on, you know, some deep-held beliefs of mine.
You know what, Chris? I'm willing to trade you the Los Angeles Dodgers.
That's interesting.
You can drop the Detroit Tigers to waivers. And I, in return, will take first pick the next time we do a draft.
Okay. I think that's more than fair.
Okay. You can have the Dodgers.
Thank you for your... I don't mean thank you. I mean you're welcome for my savvy bit of tradesmanship.
In the second round, do you want to snake this or...
We can snake it.
Oh, how can we
snake it till we make it?
All right, then I guess it's your pick again.
I guess that is true.
How interesting.
Well then, Griffin, I actually don't feel super great about this team this year, but I think it would be foolhardy to count them out. I think you got to go with the Houston Astros. Time and again, they've shown the ability to produce in the playoffs. They've still got their core together. They just extended Jose Altuve. I think that Alex Bregman is, if I recall correctly, cruising for free agency next year. So that'll be potentially a big blow to them. But for now, they still have all of their top guys together. They paid a frankly obscene amount of money for Josh Hader, a move that I did not love. But he holds up as the closer that they pray that he will be, you know, it's quite the upgrade over, I believe, Ryan Pressly was there.
Yeah, who was good. I think you only need him to be good for 1 year, which he probably should be. And now we have hit, I feel, a real gap between the Astros and whoever is will go fourth overall here, which once again makes it very convenient for you that this draft snaked.
You are now
sitting with the Dodgers and the Astros. I am not a big believer in the New York Yankees, despite the addition of Juan Soto and hopefully the health of Aaron Judge. I think running Judge out in center field is an iffy experiment in my eyes. Garrett Cole will be good, and Carlos Rodon should have a bounce back year, but I don't know. They were so bad last year, by which I mean 82 and 80.
They did suck, though.
Tampa Bay Rays did win 99 games last year, but I don't know. They're the Rays. They got rid of Tyler Glasnow.
They're the Rays. A classic argument for a team losing a bunch of players and then not being good the next year.
When do they win the World Series? Never.
They did.
No, they didn't. Did they?
You know, in my heart. Did they?
I don't think so.
Now I'm triple guessing myself.
I am going to go back. I don't really believe in the Baltimore Orioles to be as good as they were last year either. So I'm going to go back to the National League well.
No World Series wins for the Rays, by the way.
I know. And and take the my second National League East team. Both of my teams going to be hailing from the NL East. I'm going to take the Philadelphia Phillies with my second overall pick. A World Series participant last year. Sure. Wait, no. A National League Championship Series participant. Right?
Yes.
When did they lose to the Diamondbacks? I think the Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers in the NLDS and the Phillies in the NLCS.
That sounds right to me because it is.
There we go. Look at us. Such knowers of baseball. So I'm taking the Philadelphia Phillies to join the Atlanta Braves. And then I guess it snakes back to me again for my third pick.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that convenient for you? And just quickly, do you remember who did the Diamondbacks beat in the wild card?
In the wild card, they...
Just a fun little of test course, for
We were taking, like, we were paying close attention. The Reds did not make it. Did the Padres make it? Did they beat the Padres?
No, Griffin. The Padres were terrible last year. They were, speaking of the Yankees, 82-80.
Oh. Then I guess it must have been not the St. Louis Cardinals. Which division was the team from?
They are an NL. They won the NL Central, Griffin.
Who won the Central? The Pirates didn't. The Cardinals didn't. The Cubs didn't. Oh, the Milwaukee Brewers?
That's correct, there Griffin. There it is. They knocked off the Brewers. It was a bit of a race there. The Cubs were in it, but
yeah,
not for the division, but for the wild card.
Right.
Griffin, it's your pick.
Chris, for my pick, I mean, I guess sitting there among all of these other teams are our reigning World Series champions. So I've got two National League teams already. It makes sense to diversify your portfolio. That's what I've heard. So I'm going to take the Texas Rangers with my third round pick. Seager and Semien, hopefully they can bash for another year. Adelis Garcia will continue his star turn. Maybe they get a bit of healthy Jacob deGrom. Do they still have Max Scherzer? God only knows.
I believe they do.
So yeah, give me the Rangers. Let's see what they can do. Probably losing Jordan Montgomery, although he still hasn't signed.
So true. Griffin, you've put me in a very difficult position here because I'm now forced to take the New York Yankees.
There's a chance that they're really good.
There's a chance that they're terrific, but I don't really... It's very Lakers to me. Very Lakers to me.
It is very Lakers.
They do have those really good players, but deep down, don't they kind of suck?
The Yankees? I think they do. Sorry, I got lost in your Lakers metaphor, and I also got lost in the fact that to start the second inning, Alek Manoah has just hit a batter with a pitch. That is his third. Listen, to get hit around in your first start of spring training is one thing. That happens. We know that hitters are ahead of pitchers. To hit three batters in the first
inning.
This is troubling. You have your head in your hands, Chris. Troubled.
The season hasn't started yet.
No, this is his first start of the spring. He might be fine. This is not a good sign.
This is not a good sign. I was really hoping and confident that he would, that's very sad to hear.
I mean, I would be fine if he was leaving pitches in the middle of the zone and they were getting laced for doubles, but to hit three batters in the first inning plus, we'll see if this impacts how the draft goes forward, Chris, because it is now time for your final pick.
I am now pivoting. I'm going to go ahead and take the Baltimore Orioles. I think that they are a terrific team. I think that they are obviously on the upswing. They might not win, 101 games they won last year. They might not be that good this year, but I think in terms of talent, in terms of how I would trust them in a playoff series, things like that. I think that they will continue to improve in that estimation. And I think that they could. If you told me that they were going to win the World Series this year, you know, coming from the future, I would not be shocked.
No, certainly. The position player core is the envy of any in baseball, I think, with Jackson Holliday maybe making an appearance this year as well. How crazy would that be? So that leaves me with the final pick, Chris. I have the Atlanta Braves, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Texas Rangers. Seattle Mariners are still on the board. That's a good option. The Tampa Bay Rays, I believe, are still on the board. Another good option. The Minnesota Twins are still on the board. However, I am going to take the Toronto Blue Jays. You don't need five starters in the playoffs, Chris. You only need four. So Alek Manoah, not worrying to me. I think that they are clearly betting. The offseason did not go the way that we wanted, but they're betting on internal improvement. I do think Vladdy will be better this year. I think that Bo will continue to be a star. The defense will remain excellent with Kiermaier and Varsho, and I think that there's a lot of candidates for positive regression on the Toronto Blue Jays, Dalton Varsho being one of them. So
it's also a fair number of candidates for negative regression.
Yeah.
But I guess like Whit Merrifield's in a long run.
No, Matt Chapman probably isn't. I think that they will, their defense will be excellent. And you know what they say, defense wins championships. They've added Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, another gold glove caliber player to help in that regard. Mm-hmm. Justin Turner should be a fun addition. I've sold myself on the Blue Jays, and I think I've sold you too. And you are now kicking yourself for letting them fall this far.
Yeah, I mean, Spencer Torkelson, one of my key guys on one of my picks, just hit a two-run double. So,
well, you dropped them to waivers. Now
leading your Blue Jays 4-2. Yeah, but if they pass waivers, then I'll have them still.
That's in my minor league system. You get the waiver scoop.
So I'm going to hold on to them. And if you pick them up, you do have to give me a compensatory third-round pick. So
for next year's draft. That is going to do it, Chris, before your power goes out again. We have hit our legally required hour mark. And just before you go, if we did have to get picked up by one network, besides, of course, the Daily Wire, which we already work for, in case you had forgotten.
Famously.
Who would you want to work for? Whether it be a podcast network or a television network.
Well, Griffin, I think that there's one company that's the best in the world at what they do. World-class production values. You know, just the highest quality, really, that you could ever ask for in an employer. I'm talking about Rogers Sportsnet, Griffin.
That's what a great pick.
That's the only place that I would want to play for.
We can't love it any more than we do. I, you know what? I love it so much. I'm going to go into the office right now.
Wow. Good luck.
That's how much I love Rogers Sportsnet. I'm going to put on my raincoat and hope I don't get struck by lightning on my walk to the subway, because I'm not walking all the way to work this dirge.
In this soup.
This downpour.
In this web soup. Well, thank you all for listening.
Yeah.
Please remember to...
We're happy to be back. We got big plans for next week, with next weekend being Oscars weekend, so we're going to have some content tied in there.
Dune 2 this weekend, Griffin?
I don't know about this weekend, because I am at a wedding this weekend. Congratulations to Rebecca and Jordan, who
huge
no chance in hell they listen to this podcast, but Victoria might still be listening, and I will see her there. So, Victoria, I'm looking forward to seeing you at the wedding this weekend.
That is exciting. Well, enjoy that. GriffinPorter97 on Twitter. CHowsengine on Twitter. I'll tweet one day, I promise.
At Chows.
With a Z. HFLC Podcast on Twitter. Formerly X. And until next time, please keep your floors high and your ceilings.